just something wonderful when you think of everything being made right again when the family's all together, isn't it? This is what God's desire is, more than anything else. It's for the whole family to be together. He just loves it when the whole family gets together. Who isn't like that? Do you believe God needs humans for his party? You know, he says that there's great rejoicing among heaven's angels. I think he wants some humans to join the party. How about you? So this morning, I want to look at this great celebration of heaven from the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to read just the first story, but there are three stories in succession: the story of the lost lamb, and then the story of the lost coin, and then the story of the lost son, the prodigal son. I'd like to read from Luke 15, 1 through 7. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Did you know that Jesus got into a lot of trouble because he threw welcome parties? Oh, they were fine with Jesus as long as he was doing miracles, as long as he was teaching. In fact, we know that he was invited to synagogues to preach, and you had to be approved by the leader of the synagogue to be able to preach. They were good with that. But then he started talking about forgiving your enemies. He started talking about welcoming all and all those type of things. And that bothered them. That confused them because, in their estimation, they were really wonderful people. But the other people, you know, those tax collectors and prostitutes and the run-of-the-mill sinners like all of us, they just couldn't imagine that God would care about those. And while Jesus has the saying, there is great joy among heaven's angels when one sinner repents, do you know what they said? There is joy among the heaven's angels when one sinner is obliterated. That's the world Jesus Christ came into. We can't even imagine it, right? In the presence of God's angels, there is great rejoicing when one sinner repents. And God says, come and join the party. Here's the deal, friends. I was raised by an incredible mother, and my heart goes out to all those who weren't raised by a wonderful mother. You know, just because your mother doesn't make you wonderful, did you know that? No more than you're being a sperm donor makes you a great daddy. No way. You're a good mother when you're a good mother. And not everybody has one. And my heart goes out to those who didn't. But I celebrate all of you who overcame it. And I celebrate all of you who did have a good mother. And I celebrate all of you fathers or grandparents who have to stand in the role of a good mother. I celebrate all that. But I was fortunate. I had a good mother. I was very blessed. My mother was an awesome lady. She had her problems along the way. Certainly the grief that I watched her go through after my father died. She had kids to raise. That was hard. But she was a great mother. But one of the things that I loved the most and the thing that I missed the most is being able to tell my mother when I did something awesome. Because she celebrated it like I did, or she did it, you know what I mean? Like she lived vicariously through us, and it was like, yay, Bill, you're awesome, you're special. I missed that from her. Because we all need someone to celebrate when something good happens, don't we? I mean, I know we have Facebook where you can post everything you did great, and you want 100 or 200 likes when you put something up, right? Everyone's like, awesome, you're awesome. We want people to celebrate with us when something good happens, right? God's no different. We're made in his image. He wants us to celebrate with him when there's something good that happens. And that's why he tells these three incredible stories. And I want you to see the brilliance, just the absolute brilliance of Jesus Christ when he tells these three stories. How do you react when someone's giving you a hard time? They're giving him a hard time. And he goes into the depths of his spirituality to pull out three of the most amazing stories ever told in all of humanity. These three stories that are timeless, but applied very well in his day and apply very well in our day, except our day needs just a little bit of filling in the blanks, because we don't have sheep, very many of us these days, right? But let's talk about each of these stories, the stories that led to the parties. The first one was a foolish lost lamb. I know some of you think lambs are just so cute. Aren't they just cute? Oh, they're just adorable, but boy, are they stupid. I was a dairy farmer, and we had a lamb one time. I called it Dumbo because of the way it acted. They're dumber than cows. They're really dumb. But one thing that I know that a foolish lamb does is it says, hey, there's a blade of grass. I'll go get that. Oh, over there's a blade of grass. I'll go get that. And down there's a blade of grass. I'll go get that. Oh, and over there's some grass. And uh-oh, where's my shepherd? That's what sheep do. They're foolish. They're just absolutely foolish. It's like they don't even have gray cells in that little skull of theirs. They are stubborn and foolish. But they don't get lost on purpose. They're just foolish. You know, this is like a lot of people we know. They don't mean to get lost. It's not their intention. They just make some mistakes. Jesus said they don't know what they're doing, right, when he was being nailed to the cross. Well, let's read this from 1 Corinthians 2:14. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. And so we think these people that just reject Christ and they don't understand the things that we say, we think they're awful. They're not awful. A lot of them are just, they don't know. They just don't know. Okay? So that's the first story that he tells. But he says that there's great celebration when these come home. Great celebration when they come home. He says, and then there's the faultless lost coin. And the lost coin, I mean, it has it's not even foolish. It has no part in being lost, right? The coin just gets lost. It's the owner that causes this to be lost. In this case, in the coin, right? The coin can't help it. It's just a coin. But this is a great story of the lost coin. It just makes such an awesome point. He says, this lady has 10 coins. Now, if you have 10 coins and you lose one, it's not a big deal because you don't have silver coins of that day. 10 coins of that day, 10 silver coins, that was the value of a day's wage. So even if you had 9, you'd still want the other one, just for the intrinsic value of that lost coin, right? But there's very well something else going on in this story. Jesus says it's a woman that has 10 coins. That's your first hint. And it's exactly 10. Why is it 10? Because there was a habit of that day of wearing what they called these silver hairdresses. They would wear silver coins connected with silver chain. And they would wear them in their hair. And it was almost like an engagement ring or a wedding band. It says, I'm married. They didn't wear these until they were married. And then they would put these in their head. Usually they didn't have the money to buy these until after they were married. But this was like a status symbol and a sign. I'm married. I'm spoken for. This had more than intrinsic value is what I'm saying. This had, you know, that romantic value, that sentimental value, that emotional value. It had all the above. You know, my sister was a lot older than I was. I have a brother that's 14 years older, and my sister that's 5 years younger. She got engaged. Well, one day she was washing the dishes. She took her rings off and set them there on the side of the sink. She got done washing the dishes, discovered the diamond was gone. Oh, no. Right? Well, what would you do? She cried. And then she called for my dad, and my dad came with the wrenches, and he took all the plumbing apart under the sink and down through into the basement, and lo and behold, he found it in the trap. Amazing. It was there. Boy, do you think our whole family celebrated when that was found? If nothing else, at least Carol wasn't in a terrible mood anymore. We were all happy that that was found. And she was ecstatic that it was found. That woman, she digs all over the house. I mean, remember, they had dirt floors. It would have been dark. It would have been hard to find this lost coin. But she finds it, and she's just so happy. Just suppose a woman has 10 silver coins. Just suppose it, he says. Loses one down in a crevice, can't find it, and all of a sudden it shows up. Do you think she's happy? Do you think the members of her family are happy? Of course they are. Great celebration. But then he tells the clincher story. The willful, lost child. The one who purposely said, Dad, almost like the Grinch in the Grinch that Stole Christmas, are you still alive? I want my money now. Give me my inheritance. We can't even imagine, some of us, a kid acting that way. But they do sometimes, right? Sometimes they do act this way. Father agrees. He gives him the money. Let's read this together. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings, moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. Man. If you don't believe in free will, this is another one of the wonderful scriptures that says God believes in it. Because, of course, the Father represents God. He gives him the money and allows him to leave. And we know this prodigal son, right? We've all been one, or waiting for one to come home. Can I just say, if you're a parent, and you know what it's like to have a child reject you, who see you just as a dollar bill, who rejects your values and your God, you know how this guy felt. He's grieving. He's lost his son. He says, my son was lost. He was dead. Now he's found and he's alive. You think he was a celebrating father? What would you do if that were your son? And sometimes I think of church people being an awful lot like the scribes and the Pharisees. You're like, why are you paying attention to those people? We're the good people. We're the ones that tithe and keep the church doors open. Right? You're right. You are. You're awesome people. And you have a special place in God's eye. So does the prodigal. So does the prodigal. There's a great cost paid for all of us, right? We've been purchased with the price. There was a great cost for all of them. I think of the woman with the coin. I mean, the anxiety, the time that she spent looking through the house, probably messed up the house looking for the coin, right? Just the anguish of the day. Great cost for that party. I think of the lost lamb, leaving the 99 left over there. The risk of looking for that one lamb, the time. I think of the lost son. And I think of the cost of the father. Taking time out of every day, looking down the road. Is my son coming home today? Oh, I hope he comes home today. Oh, that my son would just come home. And when he does come home, boy, does he throw a party, huh? I mean, he is the party thrower of all party throwers, because this is a bigger deal than a lamb or a coin. This is a huge deal. A person, a human being came home. Let's celebrate, he says. Hey, put up the tent, bring out the band, you know, put a ring on his finger, put a robe on him, you know, sandals. This, my boy was lost, but he's home. He's home. Let's celebrate. And he calls everybody. And think of the cost of the party. They kill the fatted calf. And God looks at human beings and he says, wow, they are so valuable. I think what I'll do is I'll spend everything. I'll do anything. I will give the most precious thing in all of heaven that they might come to the party. Let's read together. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. And he says, join the party. Whatever you do, don't miss. There was a great, great price paid. Come to the party and embrace the party. You know, Jesus tells these Pharisees and scribes, you're missing the party. You're missing the whole point of what I'm about here. I'm not about miracles. I'm not about teaching. That's part of what I do, but here's what I'm about. Celebrate with me that one that was lost has come home. Finally, God wants a rowdy family reunion. Have you been to any of those? I hear some giggles. You've been there, right? You've done these, right? I think of some, you know, my dad was one of 12. They all had big families. Boy, was it rowdy when we got together when we were little. You know, I mean, we nearly burned the barn down one time, lighting candles in the hay mow. We were rowdy. Boy, I remember my cousins coming, and it was the best. I mean, we called it Blair Day. We're going to celebrate. There's going to be a party, right? And all the food and all the fun time at the reunion, right? I mean, it's supposed to be fun. Then you know how it is. There's some aunt that says, hey, everyone over here on the hill, we want under the tree, we want to get a picture. Everyone, come over here. Come on, you too, Uncle Harvey. Get under the tree. Come on, you know. And then some uncle with plaid pants pulls out the Polaroid, and he comes over and he takes a picture, right? And now it's 10 cell phones. One person's trying to hold some friend that came to the reunion. And we all look like this. Looking good, looking good. Hold still now. On the count of three, everybody says, headlights. He says, have some fun at the reunion. I mean, people that go to church all down in the mouth, I don't get them. Do you get this? I mean, we are here for the biggest celebration of all. That someone loved us so much and went on a search party so that he could have a celebration party on Sundays. Welcome to the reunion this morning. Isn't it great to be together? But there was one guy that didn't get it. He was the older brother. You know who the older brother represents, right? These are the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious folk that said, we've been here the whole time paying the tithes, keeping the doors open, and you brought these sinners to the party. You never killed a fatted calf for me, never brought a robe for me, never did this or that for me. He's missing the party, isn't he? Because God's going to keep doing it. And he's going to miss every one of the parties with that attitude. And I feel sorry for him more than I feel sorry for God, because there are a whole lot of Christians who do get it. And there are a whole lot of human beings that are there for the party. But I feel really sorry for the older brother that says, what about me? What about me? I don't think God's so concerned about what about me. He's concerned about what about the ones that are lost? What about them? Will you come and celebrate, he says. Do you know Abraham Lincoln? When the Civil War was over, he was asked, What are you going to do about the South now? And he said, I'm going to treat them just as if they had never been gone. I think of the father in this story who's standing at the house looking out the window, seeing if he could catch a glimpse, oh, just dreaming of the day that his son will, the rebellious son will come and, you know, just open the little gate down at the end of the sidewalk and come through into the yard and come up and knock on the door. And, oh, if he would just come. And then one day he sees him. He goes running down the road to meet him. This is something really new to the religious leaders, because they thought the only way you could come to God was come groveling, begging and pleading. They never gave a thought that God was the shepherd working his way through the hillsides looking for a lamb, a lost lamb. Never thought that God was a woman digging through the dirt looking for the lost coin. Never thought that God was a father running down the road to meet his lost son to say, come, I've got a party set for you. It's hard to grasp, isn't it? I was watching Shark Tank this week. You ever watch this stupid show? It's kind of neat. I kind of like that show, actually. These people come in and they're trying to get a business started and they need some rich sharks to invest in their business. And then the sharks try to gouge them and they fight with each other and then they come up with a deal. And then you hear about success stories. Well, there was a guy on there this week. He was a cowboy. Anyone see this? He had a red hat, red cowboy hat, and everything was, that's what I'm talking about, yee-haw! He had an exercise equipment. But that's what I think God wants us to be like when it comes to people who are lost. When they come to find this blessed story, this blessed gospel story, the good news of Jesus Christ, to say, yee-haw, that's what I'm talking about. That's what we're about as a church. And I hope that if we haven't been about that, that's what we will be seeing as our main focus for the coming year. That everything that we are about is bringing them back into the fold, because let's face it, they're all part of the family out there, aren't they? And I don't care what color they are, what nation they're from, what dialect they speak, or how you pronounce their name. They're all part of the family when you think about it. If you really, really think about it, we're all related, aren't we? Think about that next time you feel like flipping somebody off. Oh, some of you hiding your faces now. Think about how you treat people out there. Telling you what, if that is your kid that is rebellious, if it's your kid that's lost and foolish, and they make it back, you're celebrating. You're running down the road. I'm telling you, you are. You don't care what they've been doing, right? Tell you, I finally got this story figured out. I had to get middle-aged to figure it out. I'm not kidding you. This story used to not make any sense to me until I was a father of grown children. You know, I've got three kids that are out of the house now. They're home some, two of them, two in college, and one that's, she's out with her husband and baby, and then I have a sixth grader. You know, when you have kids at home, it's like, straighten out, straighten up, you know, clean up the room, right? And then they get out. And I don't know what they've been like all week. I don't know what their apartment looks like at college. All I know is I'm really happy when they're home. I remember when we were all grown up, one of six kids, and we'd get together. My mom would just look around the table and say, oh, this is so nice. That's how God sees it, because we're made in his image. That's why we see it the way we see it. Lord God, I thank you for family, and I thank you for loving us so much to make us part of the family where we could come in here and we could sing the song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for this, Lord. We thank you that you do gather us around one table. No matter where we are in the world, you gather us around one table to say, come and eat and drink and be blessed. Put on my robe of righteousness. Put on my white robe. Wear it proudly, for you are a child of God. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us together today. I thank you for the safe travel that so many have had this week. We do pray for the family of the young man who was killed on the road this week, though. God, we cannot imagine the pain of his parents. We pray your blessing in that situation. We think of all of our IUP graduates and the kids who made it home from prom safely. We're grateful for each one, but as the graduates graduate and go off and to college or back to Spain or back to France or back to Brazil or across the country to Europe, Lord God, we are really grateful for the time to spend with them. We ask your blessing on them, that you would give them safe travel, and that they might be able to return to us someday and we can celebrate their return. We ask, God, your blessing on all of the good church people here, and they are good. None of us are perfect. We recognize that easily. And we know that a price was paid for every one of us. And for this, we're really grateful. We ask, God, that you would forgive us for acting like the older brother sometimes. Please pardon our sin and have mercy on us. We pray that you would give us your heart for people, your heart for the lost. That this would not be something that we would take lightly, but we would search the hillsides and in the dirt, yes, and down the road, for who we might be able to bring in, to find you and to find the good news. We pray that you would give us a heart that treasures the alcoholic that's just trying to get free. The old lonely lady who just needs a family around her. The broken young couple just trying to hold it together. The teenager who thinks that they're just a fancy set of chromosomes in a petri dish. That they might realize that they are made in the image of a glorious God. Lord God, we submit all these things to you, looking forward to your blessing them, and that, God, you would show us how to reach all these different types of people. You are very inclusive, the foolish, the rebellious, yes, and the one who is faultless and yet lost. Thank you for revealing that to us. We were all the lost ones. And we thank you, God, for Malia's little voice. She was in the hospital, and I see you, but she's here, and we praise you, God, for that. It is so good to hear her. Bless her, Lord. Continue to heal her. And now, God, we ask your blessing on all and guidance for all things as we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.